Welcome to the Flux Digital Marketing Podcast. Today I am interviewing the Robert D. He is not only a client of mine, he's been one of, honestly, the best clients I've ever had. Him and his team are absolutely incredible, but he's also releasing a new book on January 3rd, and I wanted to question him about it. And this isn't going to be one of those interviews where we are just here to promote the book. I have some questions, Robert, that I want to ask you that I haven't even asked you about it before. Some tough ones that you probably won't get from any other interviews. So first off, welcome.
Thank you very much, Joel. I am honored to be here with you. And I don't expect anything less than outstanding questions, out of the ordinary, because that's what you're all about. You are way out of the box.
Well, now you're putting a little pressure on me.
Yeah.
So first off, right off the bat, just want to know, where in the heck did you come from? It kind of seems like from out of nowhere, you've published this incredible book. It has endorsements from a huge number of amazing authors. I mean, you're killing it right now. What's the story behind that?
Wow, that is funny, because you and I did not know each other till a few months ago, but yet, do you know, next month, that you know I manage an author speaker, his name is Andy Andrews, and next month, Joel, we start our 33rd year together.
Wow.
So you see, I have been behind the scenes, way behind the scenes, and I like it that way. You won't find, up until months ago, there was no website, no mention of me, except as a contact on behalf of Andy, usually for bookings or, you know, I handle his book contracts. I handle actually every aspect of his business life. So that's why I was not needed to be known.
Gotcha. But now you have been convinced by some people that the stuff that you, the things that you've learned and that you've applied from over the years, they need to be shared. And so is that kind of what you put into this book?
Yeah, I think by accident, Joel, this book has come about. It's almost as if God went around my back to get this done. Because it started out, as you know, in the first chapter, it's revealed that literally it was an email 2.5 years ago. And then about a year ago, some of my team needed an ebook to follow up on one Andy did. And we thought this might be good. This email expanded, which was created. Then there was an argument and they wanted hard copies made to give away and for promotional purposes. So I went to Andy's publisher and said, hey, can we print 5,000 of these? When they saw what it was, they said, wait a minute, we would like to publish this. Well, I was literally speechless at the moment when I heard this. I didn't know what to say because that wasn't on our radar. It wasn't on my list. It wasn't on the bucket list. It wasn't on the back of a list to even publish a book. So I have found myself having to literally practice what I've been teaching to others for 3 decades.
But the difference between you and a lot of authors is you're practicing by what you're teaching to people, but only in the sense of writing the book, but you've been actually practicing these things that you talk about in the book.
Yeah,
you know, you've been practicing those forever.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, as you know, I have willingly met with many authors, many business people, many entertainers, and given of my time freely simply on coaching or counseling them and sharing with them what we've done behind the scenes with Andy. Because most people look at Andy Andrews as a 3-time New York Times best-selling author. His books are translated to 25 languages. Literally every 43 seconds, 24/7, another book is sold by Andy Andrews somewhere on the world. Well, you look at that and you think, well, what is going on? These guys must know something. So we do have things laid out. We do have many charts and ideas. And, you know, there's nearly a dozen people on our team putting in over 500 man hours a week on just Andy. So in a court of law, some people might think, well, It's a known fact. He knows what he's doing. Now, you and I know that late at night, if you're nearby, at midnight, you can hear me crying out to God, what do I do tomorrow? What do I do next? And so this book is filled with immediate techniques, strategies, resources that anybody, whether you're in high school, whether you're a mom or dad, a businessman, a CEO, that you could use these strategies within the next hour, because I do it daily.
So we haven't even mentioned the name of the book, which is called 20,000 Days and Counting. And by the couple minutes of the conversation we've just had, people would think it's all about how to manage an author or become an author, but it's actually not. So it's way more about the mindset. And I don't want to put words into your mouth, but give a kind of brief ADD version synopsis of the book.
And the subtitle is The Crash Course for Mastering Your Life Right Now. So I guess a Cliff Note version, the elevator version might be that it's based on the idea of living your life, living today as if it was going to be your last day. And that happened literally. This concept came to me when I was in ninth grade in gym. And our class was large enough that half of the guys were inside the gym. The other half were on an outside court, a little basketball court, playing basketball. And one of my friends that I had been with from second grade was out, and he went to chase the ball that was rolling almost out of bounds. And he literally tripped and fell flat on his face. And that pushed the nose bone up into his head, and he died there. Well, as a ninth grader, you're not thinking about not going home. You're not thinking about anybody dying, much less yourself. And it suddenly occurred to me that I'm literally one step away from my last breath. And it kind of jolted me. Now, not in a big way, but you know what? To this day, I have always made my bed. Of course, at the request of my mom. But before I leave every morning, wherever I've been, I've always made my bed, because I thought, what if I don't come back? Isn't that kind of odd? But all through these last 30 years, I've used that principle in building Andy's career, our career, because I've treated this so critical, this day, this hour, by maximizing with intensity of all that we can do today. And it's made a huge difference.
There is the very first sentence of your book, and I haven't even asked you, but do you mind if I share that?
Please, 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 absolutely.
It's what made me, it was when I started reading it, I knew this was actually going to be a book that I finished. Because it says, I wrote this book so you could read it quickly. And the book, end of quote, but the book is actually, you say, it's only takes 1 hour to read.
Yeah.
Now, when I read that, I was like, I pulled out my phone and started my stopwatch, because I was like, I'm going to prove this guy wrong, because I'm the slow reader. And if I can't get it done in an hour, then I'm going to shoot you an email and say, what's going on here? Because that's not true. And truth be told, I actually did finish it in an hour. So I was very impressed. And it was a different sort of book, because it was very easy to consume, but you really start off by practicing what you preach, which I love. So, you don't want to take up a lot of the reader's time, because you want them to live intentionally and like each day is their last. So what are some ways that this mindset has changed how you live every day?
I find people, Joel, that are overwhelmed with a big project. It might be – everybody can relate when we are in school to a book report or a term paper. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of overwhelming. It might give – usually the teacher, professor gives you weeks to months to finish that. And how many of us wait to the very last week to really jump in? And how many have stayed up all night the night before it's due? So – in life, can we create that same intensity on a daily basis, self-imposed? And you can usually, I'm going to say, you can always do that by simply asking yourself two questions. These are the only two questions that one would need to maximize your potential on a daily basis. The first one is, what is important now? The second, what's next? Those two questions will never allow your to-do list to be empty. There will always be more to do. And it will be fine-tuning as to the A's and the B's and the C's of importance in your life as to what should be moved to the A list, A1, right now, and let's finish it. Another concept in here is about starting is half finished. If you just get started, most people are waiting till they're motivated, till they feel like it. I say act as if you're happy, and you will be happy. You practice being happy. Smile, and you will feel it eventually.
I think if people really knew how true that, you know, starting is half of the battle, if they really yes. knew and applied that, yes. you would have so many productivity coaches out of a job because it is so stinking true. I mean,
not only that, at that moment, don't you get excited when you're involved in a project that you know is really cool, that you're excited about? I mean, it just gets you more excited. Not only that, your team, your people, your spouse, your friends, whoever are going to see, it's like the Pied Piper going down just whistling as loud as he can. People start following you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so many times you see that you've made a mountain out of a molehill when you have those tasks. I know every day you put those, you put that to-do list together and you have those tasks that you're just, you know, you do not want to do. You might put them at the end or you just hate to do them. They might get put off till tomorrow. And then you actually finally do them. You're like, wow, it wasn't that bad. I just actually needed to get into it and do it. And before you know it, it's done and you kind of enjoyed it.
Yes. And Joel, I have noticed, I want to say this, that you are one of the masters that I have encountered at asking amazing business questions and coaching a team of people as to what's important now and what's next. I love being a part of meetings, which I've only done two or three times, but watch you do your thing. You are deep in your thought and masterful in your projection of where you're going to be if you do these things.
Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes.
I wanted to kind of ask you another question, and this is one that I have. I think it's I would ask you the question that you have of the two questions to ask. The first one, what's important now? Is what's important, do you think that is the same factors that make up what is important? Is that the same for everyone or different?
Oh, no, it's got to be different. I mean, in other words, I am not a dad. I am not even married. But if we compared what Andy Andrews does sometimes, say every morning at 7:45, what's important right now is getting his boys to school. That never comes up for me. And if you're a mom, it might, and it's 4:45, what's important now might be preparing dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So for you owning and having your own business, you might need to be writing a proposal tonight to give to somebody that wants your services. It might be implementing a new strategy for somebody that's already a client and you're trying to double whatever number it is. So that's going to change every day for everybody. You will never find two people with that same answer.
So how do you, I guess it's, so it's really not a, it isn't, it's not a question where you can say, this is what it is. It's more of a mindset of kind of the highest and best use of my time right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, we can give the cop-out answer of, you know, family first and then work, you know, whatever it is, but really that's not going to do it. When you're down to the wire, you have 20 things to prioritize and get done that day. It is, you know, the kind of the highest and best use, and it's something that you have to kind of discover for yourself.
That's right. It's a trial and error thing. It's wanting to be excellent. It's wanting to be better. It's wanting to accomplish more, be more, and reach more, teach more, influence more. And in the book, we talk about creating things or doing things that will change people's lives for 200 years from now. Now, that has to be excellent content. And I hope that those listening don't wait for 200 years to pick up the book.
Seriously.
Do you hear me?
Seriously. I don't want to ruin it, so I'm not even going to say anything here quite yet. But the name of the book, again, is 20,000 Days and Counting. When I first saw that, you know, I just kind of said, huh? But it makes you really want to know, what does that mean? What 20,000 days? Like, what? Where did that come from?
Can I answer that?
Please.
Yes. You know what? A few years ago, when I got my first smartphone, the iPhone, and all these guys around me are telling me, explaining to me what an app was. And I thought, now where do you get these and what do they do? And they were all different and they were showing me these things. So naturally, I went to Amazon and downloaded every free one I could. I got way too many apps, by the way. And one of them was a countdown calendar. And so this is pretty intriguing that you looked at it and it would tell you how many days till Christmas, how many days till New Year's. You could put your next anniversary or the day you graduate in there, and it would tell you how many days from today till that date. Well, it just occurred to me at that moment, I wonder if it goes backwards. Can it tell you how long ago something took place? And the first date I put in was 5/5/55, the date I was born. And that's kind of odd because today you and I are taping this on 12/12/12.
That's true.
Which won't happen for 89 years that you've got a triple digit thing going like that. So anyway, I put that in the app, the countdown calendar, and I was shocked to find that at that moment I had been alive like 19,900 and some odd days. And I thought, wow. I mean, I'd never seen this before, never thought of it this way. And you know, in scripture, it talks about your days are numbered and time is like a vapor. And it describes life and what a short amount of time we really have on the earth compared to the timeline of history, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was intrigued by this and I thought, my next big number, which was going to be 20,000, I'm going to go do something special. Now, at that moment, a few months out, I didn't know what that was. But the book describes what took place on that Friday morning, on my 20,000th day, and what happened in the next 48 hours was not only life-changing for me, but now it's becoming totally life-changing for many that are reading the book.
And I've talked to several people who have some incredible stories, but we will save that, what you came to the conclusion of for people to read the book. And it's definitely worth it. So that makes so much more sense. And I didn't realize just until you said it just now that you're right. That verse does talk about, and the Bible doesn't talk about, you know, your years are numbered. It talks about time in days.
Yes, that's right.
I hadn't noticed that before. That's really interesting.
It is. And all we have is today. And most people's fears and worries are always about the future. You're not worried about the past. You're always worried about the future. But right now, I would ask anybody, do you have shelter? Do you have water? Do you have food, clothing? Are all your needs being met? And I would be, everybody would be saying yes. Even if you're homeless, most likely you've got a place to stay tonight or a place you're imposing on somebody or somewhere. So our needs are met. Now from there, how much more value can we add to others? Or just being more productive and knowing that you're happy. Because if this was your last day, Joel, wouldn't you want it to be your happiest day ever? You don't want to hold a grudge. You don't want to be upset with people. No, you simply love them. You can't go wrong loving everybody that matters. And by the way, everybody matters.
It seems like something kind of different, like a switch goes off in your brain when you start thinking about things in terms of days. It's not, yeah, I've been on the earth for this many years, or this event is 3 months out. You know, you're thinking about it in much smaller unit of measurement, which makes you think about each individual unit a lot more. Like, there's so much more that you could accomplish in it. Is that kind of what you were going with, or how does it make you think differently?
It's the same principle as that old saying, how do you eat an elephant? What's the answer?
Piece by piece.
One bite at a time.
There you go. Yeah.
And so how do you live life? How do you have a fulfilled life? Well, you don't do it in decades at a time. No, you do it in hours. You do it in moments. You do it today. And if one day is too overwhelming for you or anybody to comprehend, okay, when I was in college, it was a little bit overwhelming to me. So I would just live with intensity from the time I got up till noon. I thought, I'll make it to lunchtime. And then at lunch, I thought, okay, I'm going to give this another try, and I'm going to live this with intensity till dinner time. And at dinner time, I thought, I'm going to now pull it off in a most outstanding way till I go to bed. So that's three segments for the same day. And anybody can do that. But right now, I've even got it down to maybe I will keep timers around me for, and now with your smartphones, you can set the timer for 7 minutes, 15 minutes, so I can live in chunks of time. And I've got some major projects I'm working on now. But I'll look at it as a major thing. I just say, what can I do in the next 15 minutes towards that? And things begin to happen.
It makes it so much less vague, it seems like. That's what I really got from the book is, yes, I could plan out like next year, month by month, but if it only gets to month by month, it's still too vague to put into action.
That's absolutely right.
When you start really chunking it down day by day, it's like, wow, I'm actually going to have to do something here.
Yes.
And you've
been more productive, haven't you?
I have been. I really have been. It's really made me think, and not just think, but like apply things that I'm doing. I'm really trying. Have you heard the concept information just in case, and information on demand?
Yes.
Where I'm really trying to, you know, learn only to apply, not just for the sake of learning, and just, you know, executing a lot more. That was one of the big points I got from the book.
Beautiful. Like, what do you need right now that could make a difference instantly to not only your life, but those around you?
Man, I love it. So yeah. That's one of the things that I absolutely loved, because there's a chapter in your book that was kind of a splash of cold water in the face, if not even a slap in the face, to one of my favorite excuses. And the title of the book is called Motivation is a Myth. And you have a take on motivation that's a lot different than most people's kind of perception of it, but very few, I feel like, can really argue with it. And can you give me a rundown or a quick overview of what that is?
Yeah, the chapter of the in this book is called Motivation is a Myth. That's what you're referring to, I believe.
Yes, sir.
And the whole concept of that, William James, which is kind of known as the father of our modern day psychology, he has a statement, a sentence that was just masterful. And I majored in psychology in college, so I remember reading this and was so impacted. He said, "We do not sing because we are happy. We are happy because we sing." Now, I know a little secret about you, Joel, that you are a fan of Duck Dynasty.
That's true.
Well, when Phil, the granddaddy of them all, he always says in every episode, if you do this, you will be happy, happy, happy. I always get tickled with that because if we act happy, like some of my friends say, are you this intense all the time? Are you this happy all the time? Well, I act intense all the time. I act happy all the time. And Joel, guess what? When I act happy, I really am happy. When I move, you notice we move. We don't just stumble around. We're not moseying around. We've got things to do, people to see, hands to shake, babies to kiss, and in some cases, butts to kick. Do you hear me? And at times, it might be my own. So we get things going by actually jumping in, like, what can I do? And I might even give myself 3 minutes, maybe 7, to kickstart something, to get it going. And then I get all fired up about the next thing. Now, it used to be just me doing all this stuff. Now there's a team of people. And I want everybody to kickstart the next thing. I get tickled at one of my guys that's right next to me, working with me on all the major projects. He filled up, as you saw recently, a whiteboard, and we realized we need a bigger whiteboard. There were so many of these three-minute projects that we're creating that you end up getting many plates spinning. But there's always, by answering those two questions, what's important now, what's next, you can keep a lot spinning.
This is very true. Can we go kind of behind the scenes and into more of a business question really quick?
Absolutely.
And because this is my absolute, when I heard this about you, I never heard this concept before, and I've started to apply it to my own business and just seeing incredible results. But you have a quote that I've stolen and I have given credit to you, but repeated many, many times. And that is simply, the brand can't manage itself.
Oh, yes.
And you're not only, you know, a great at motivating people about living intentionally, but I love how you do business. And you have this team of people. And just talk a little bit about that concept, because it's one that not a lot of people are even aware of.
I gotcha. Well, I think is what happened is working, starting with Andy 32 years ago, and last August is 39 years ago is when I met him, and he was simply a ninth grader, and I was a freshman in college at a church camp, and he just happened to be put in my cabin, one kid out of 300, and that's where that relationship started. And so when he wanted to be a comedian at first, I knew he was an artist, and many authors, entertainers, I love to watch some of these reality shows like American Idol or whatever, and you find all these people that think they know how to manage their business. The thing they miss, Joel, is that it is show business. Now, the show is critical. You can't have a mediocre show. They've got to be at 110%. But the other part of that is the business. That, too, has to be at 110%. And an artist can't be a master of all of it. So when I would sit down with Andy, who was master at comedy and on stage presentation, we would sit in at a table, and I would say, I want you to sit on this side of the table with me, and you and I, as business people, are going to talk about that concept of Andy Andrews as the product or the brand. And he literally would, in his mind, and literally and figuratively, sit on my side of the table, and we could talk without ego, without somebody feeling bad about what I was saying, because I've got to talk about him. He's not only a friend, but I might have to, and I'm making this up. It might be, hey, you don't need to be wearing that anymore. I don't need him saying, but that's my favorite shirt. I might say, you might need to change your hairstyle or color. And, well, I've had this hairstyle since I was in seventh grade. Okay, you might have just made my point. He wanted to look at this as a business. We want to reach as many people as possible without offending anybody if we can. So how do you do that is by simply acknowledging you can't do it all. Andy Andrews is one of the most coachable people I know, and that's why this works. So I, too, have to submit myself with this idea of this brand to this team who has done a masterful job of a website. Is that a great segue to say it's at therobertd.com that you can see? I didn't do anything with the cover of the book. Nelson, Thomas Nelson, the publisher, handled all of that. Ad copy was written by somebody else. I was even amazed that, wow, that sounds pretty cool. There was somebody else, another company hired to take photography, you know, get your photo done. So I have become coachable and listening to the guys that I believe they really do know because I've seen the proof in the pudding.
A lot of companies have a really tough time letting go. They want to be involved and they think they need to be involved in every single step from they want to have a say, they want to write their own copy, or they think they need to critique it and stuff. What advice would you have for them?
Well, I would say, how far do you want to go? How many people do you want to reach? How much money do you want to make? And all these things take a group of people. Now, even if you were Steve Jobs, even if you were Bill Gates, they are, even though they might be headstrong, and these are unique individuals with a massive track record, I think older, as you get older and more successful, you can become more demanding in the way you think. But in the early days, listen and learn and follow direction. Take counsel. As a matter of fact, seek counsel. Seek wise people. Listen to your family as well as your friends. Not only about who you're dating and who you marry, but about what the title of your book is or the song. If somebody says, that sounds pitchy, don't show defense, but no, go get voice lessons. If somebody says you need to practice that instrument, go practice. Don't complain or say it's good enough. It's never good enough. There's always a version two. There's always improvement on whatever we do. That's why you have new versions of everything. That's why I don't even know what iPhone I have. I mean, but every 6 to 9 months, it seems like they come out with a new one.
Exactly.
Improved.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's excellent. Excellent advice. I just have one more question for you. I know you're a busy man, so don't want to take up too much time. And this is not one that we had talked about in the pre-interview. So, I'm still trying to catch you off guard. I haven't done it yet, but I'm still one of these days.
Okay.
So what, being a, you know, you're very much living intentionally, and each day is it's your last. But what I want to know is, do you have the new year is right around the corner. Do you have or do you make New Year's resolutions, or what do you do for the new year? How do you handle that?
Celebrate. I celebrate having made it through one and about to experience another one. Now remember, I'm not looking at a chunk of a year. Mm-hmm. Most people do that once a year. That's why they need to do it, and that's why most of them fail so soon thereafter, because they haven't practiced it enough. Now, I have resolutions when I was going to say when I wake up in the morning. You know, most people say, or you know somebody that you think got up on the wrong side of the bed. Joel, that's not true. They went to bed on the wrong side.
Hmm.
It's the night before, anticipating what a great morning, what a great day, all the things I'm going to get accomplished the next day. So I resolve. I have a resolution on a daily basis. And as you know, if you've got an assignment for me, don't you want to give it to somebody that's busy? And I appreciate your your awareness of how I do look at time and that it is intense and that I do watch the minutes. But at the same time, if you needed something done, you wouldn't think twice about giving it to me to make sure it got done, would you?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
See, that's what I think, that if we resolve to do something, my biggest thing with teaching a team is really mastering not only the clock with minutes or days, but you got to master the calendar. I mean, I've got things planned in 2016. We've got on the calendar laid out. But I know that those things are going to happen because I know that I can make things happen today, this week. You know, I find people, Joel, that are shocked every Friday that it's the weekend again. Can you imagine? It's like new things. It's a new experience to them. And then they start planning or going or doing. And I get tickled at that. But how many people continue to the day they die to live their life surprised every Friday night?
Very, very true.
I don't know if it's in the book because I've written so much, but I there's people I know that I call their hood ornament thinkers. You know, in a car, in some nice cars, they got these little hood ornaments on the hood, the front end of the car, and you're sitting there driving. Now, you and I, a safe driver, has to look way out. You have to see down. You have to know where the exit is. You got to see the stop sign. You got to see where the curve of the road is. But so many people sit behind the wheel, and as far as they see is simply the hood ornament. That's it. How, if you do that with your life, you will not be able to go far because you can't see far. You can't do things planning for when you get there, whenever that is, or whatever that is. But you've got to start writing it down now. Just make a list of to-dos for your life before you die. Start with today. You can list your bucket list. You can make the items big. But start practicing and chiseling and taking one bite out of those things today.
So don't think about New Year's. Don't wait for New Year's to make resolutions is what I hear you saying.
Absolutely. You need to resolve today, to now, right now. While you're listening, you should be listening, either typing or with a notepad and writing out some things that are coming to your mind right now. And you know, I've never asked you, you might have, knowing you, you probably highlighted, marked in, whatever in the book. Did you not?
I had, my first time I read was a PDF copy, and now I'm going through and highlighting it. Yeah, I took notes on Evernote though.
But there's that. There's, as you go, you're going to, you know, it's kind of like it's going to ring your bell. You're going, oh my heavens, that's fantastic, or that applies to me, or I'm going to do that next. And that's what this helps. It's just a little bit of an instructions, a little gentle nudge, and if needed, a swift kick in the butt.
Exactly. But not enough to where you can use it as an excuse for inaction.
And it's all done in love. Didn't you feel the love?
I did. I did. Gotta admit it.
Good.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for these, what is this, about 40 minutes of your time.
Woohoo! That's awesome. Isn't it?
Yes.
When you're having this much fun.
I know.
Yeah, it is like a vapor. It's quickly. It passes fast.
I know. If someone wasn't here telling me to shut up, I'd probably still keep talking to you. So tell me where people can find you online.
Just the, T-H-E, Robert D, and .com. And you go there. They've even got that counter thing on there. As a matter of fact, you could go there right now and put in your birth date, and it'll tell you to this day how many days you've been alive thus far.
I'm going to do that.
There's a free ebook on there on battle-tested branding. It will help you in any area of your life because you as an individual, whether you're in business or not, are a brand.
It's a darn good one too.
Excellent.
I can personally say that. So you are, the website's therobertd.com. Your Twitter handle is also therobertd.
Correct.
And you're on Facebook. I will make sure to put links in the on this blog post straight to those so people can see. The name of the book is 20,000 Days and Counting. And the official release date, tell me when that is.
Is January 3rd.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. The book will be out on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, all over the place.
Everywhere.
And if I am not mistaken, actually, I'll put this in I'll put some information about the launch party in the blog post.
Excellent. Excellent.
Awesome. Robert, thank you so much for your time. This has been absolutely fantastic.
Good. Joel, I'm honored to be with you, to talk with you, to hoot with you, and I can't wait till we eat dessert first again.
Seriously.
Okay.
Same here. Thanks so much.
All right. See ya.